Live from the 607, it's the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour, where we're talking everything going on in the world of sports. Join in the conversation on social media with the hashtag ODPH, because here we go. Welcome to an all-new edition of the ODPH Podcast. What's happening, everybody? My name is Ken M. Joining me in studio, as always, you know him. He's the co-host. His name is Padawan J.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah, and we have a special event to go cover this week. Obviously, if you know the parlay of topics that we cover each and every week, we are big pro wrestling fans. And this week is the creme de la creme, shall we say, of pro wrestling events. Is the
Super Bowl of pro wrestling.
To put it mildly, it's the showcase of the immortals, the granddaddy of them all. It is WrestleMania weekend. So we're going to be diving into all things WrestleMania for this edition of the ODPH, and also talking a little bit of the other sports world stories that are going on right now, because there are a couple things, but really... headline grabbers, shall we say?
Not really.
So. I mean, there are a couple ones that we're definitely going to be speaking about in one-shots. But in the meantime, we definitely want to keep those conversations rolling with you after the show. So, Pat, where does everybody head to?
ODPHpodcast.com.
Right on. Swing on over to the website. Check out the social media accounts. They're all right there on the front. Sign up, like, follow, subscribe, do what you got to so you don't miss a minute of the parlay of topics that we discuss. And we like having those conversations in between episodes, too. Also, check out the T Public Store link. A lot of stuff happening over there, so you never know when a sale is going to be popping up left and right, and that is the best time to go buy some ODPH swag, so make sure you go check that out. Also, check out the Patreon link, one tier, $2 a month. Shout out to all our amazing patrons. They got a brand new episode earlier than everybody else this month, should we say in March, so, and that is one that I got the chance to talk to one Stephanie Phillips about the brand new Grimm series, and also... she broke down WrestleMania 2. If you haven't checked out the episode, you definitely want to make sure you do that. It just came out yesterday, so that's why you got to make sure you subscribe to the ODPH on your favorite podcatcher. And you can find that in the directory, because, Pat, how many providers are we on?
We are on 491,488.
Sounds about right to me. I don't question him, because he is a statistician to the stars. Also on the website, you want to check out the classified section, which has friends of the show, such as Nerd Initiative, Dragon Master Games, and 3FN Podcast, amongst many others, the blog section, and the music section of the show, where you can hear the great musicians that loan us their music to play each and every week on the show right there at your fingertips. So definitely shout out to Brian Wolf and the Howlers. Shout out to the Robots, Floodlands, Tom Jolu, Second Suitor, the list goes on and on. Basically, if it's anything and everything that is the ODPH, you can find it at odphpodcast.com. And if you're using hashtags, except on Threads, use the hashtag ODPHpod. Kicking off this edition of the show, like we talked about, is a very special time of year for pro wrestling fans because it is WrestleMania week.
Hell yeah.
A lot of things are going on in the land of the world wrestling entertainment. So let us kind of recap a little bit of what's been going on before we deep dive into the main card.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this week had a lot of headlines going on, and especially involving one Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The promo work that has been going on with him and Cody Rhodes. Since we last talked, obviously, there was a little bit of cinematic flair, if you will.
Yeah.
And it has been escalating going through the weekend. And then we get to last night's Monday Night Raw. And they're the go-home show, so to speak, before WrestleMania.
From the Barclays in Brooklyn, New York, in front of what was announced as the largest gate in Monday Night Raw history.
I fully believe it.
Which is astounding considering how long Monday Night Raw has been going. Over 30 years.
Well, you have to think about it in this perspective. Monday Night Raw, like you touched on, has been going on for many, many years. And WWE has always had a great showing when they've come to New York / Brooklyn.
Yes.
It depends like where they go, whether it's Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center.
Yep.
Either way, they always have a great show out when they go.
Mm-hmm.
But this was hearing that it was the biggest sellout they've had for Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I forget what the exact number was. It was like something over 15,000. I think it was like 15,400 and change.
Mm-hmm.
Something crazy like that.
Oh, yeah. So it is absolutely astonishing to believe. But this also kind of ties into a little press release that WWE was very kind to send to us as well, and talking about how SmackDown, Raw, and NXT was up in the key 18 to 49 advertising demo ahead of WrestleMania, and numbers are booming. So this really was no shock to be up there, but everybody is talking about the resurgence of pro wrestling in pop culture. And we are seeing that here, especially with The Rock being involved, obviously Hollywood's biggest action star, taking a little break from the movies until he starts ramping up his schedule, which is happening very, very shortly.
I would imagine so.
To have him come on the show, get involved, and really go in with that crowd last night, too. Because him and Roman Reigns had a great opening segment. Seth Rollins came down. There you did the tease about, okay, I'll challenge The Rock, I'll challenge Roman.
We're gonna have the biggest main event in Monday Night Raw history. And I'm sitting there going, that's a hell of a statement to make. You think some of the main events and some of the superstars, male and female, they've had come through those that gorilla position over the years. To sit there and say it's the biggest, that'd be a hell of a statement. And then he made the challenge, he being Seth Rollins. I challenge you, Rock, one-on-one tonight in the main event. And I went, okay, no, yeah, that's a pretty big main event.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. It would absolutely have been a ratings, you know, touchdown, if you will. But it did not happen. Solo Sikoa took the spot. Obviously, they're not going to have The Rock wrestle right before WrestleMania because with a big main event tag team match he's involved in, they're leaving nothing to chance. And, of course, the ending of the show was what we want to see as fans.
Utter chaos.
Chaos. And this is one of the times that when we have a big run-in like this where you have so many people getting involved, a lot of times if it's not done every week, it works. And in this situation, they really wanted to put an exclamation point on the hype they've been building up for the main event. I think they did a great job with it.
I did too.
The crowd was excited. Obviously, there was another buzz in the air too that I know we're not going to spend a ton of time on, but the Ariel Helwani show had some fireworks on it this week.
Yeah, it did.
CM Punk came on, opened up the vault, so to speak.
Did he ever.
Had a few things to say about the past 2 years, shall we say.
There was only one thing he could not talk about, and that was because there was an NDA. Anything else, fair game.
Yeah, so is very insightful. It kind of gave a temp in the room of a lot of things that you've heard mentioned here on the ODPH on 607 TWS.
Back when, yeah.
Back when, and even on Wrestling Night Live on Nerd Initiative YouTube. So when you have all this kind of put together, Pat, just kind of sum up that interview. Let's do a little spoiler-free. Like, what was your reaction to it?
Not totally surprised. You know, I was surprised in how open and candid he was with what he could talk about. You know, just because it's, let's face it, you know, the whole situation with his tenure in AEW has been, you know, run through and rerun so many times. If we're talking an old VHS tape, it doesn't want to play. You know, so I didn't expect to hear much from him in that regards, just because, you know what, he might, let's leave the past in the past. You know, let's talk about recent history. You know, and I didn't expect him to talk about you know, the other situations where an NDA was involved because, hey, legally he can't talk about it. So the fact that he even opened up about what he did and said a lot of things we kind of figured and what we'd already heard, not totally surprising once he said it, but I was shocked at him going into such detail.
Yeah, I thought he was very open and honest, which, I mean, if Punk is allowed to talk about something, he will say his mind. He will say his piece. And I know it got a lot of fans talking. It had a lot of journalists talking, quote unquote. It had everybody talking to Fouls Pro Wrestling. And I thought Ariel Helwani did a fantastic job with
Helwani's
the interview.
Helwani's a fantastic interviewer.
Oh, yeah. He's easily top five. Easily top five. All time, in my opinion. Like, I think he can really go in there and be very professional. And especially, too, this was one that I think the comfort level with the two of them, Helwani and Punk,
that helped.
Really showed and really made this more relaxed than one might have thought.
Yeah.
And I thought Punk was very honest about it. I know the reactions to it, like we've alluded to enough, had fans talking. So it only elevated Monday Night Raw going into this week, and obviously with WrestleMania too.
Yep.
Even the bonus segment going on with Rhea Ripley.
Which I didn't even know about till they showed that on TV.
Yeah.
I saw the Punk thing. I did not realize Rhea was on the same show, and she had the run-in with Becky, which I figured would have garnered some sort of attention.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been making some rounds, too, but obviously the Punk won because of the subject matter he was referring to, of, you know, obviously the last 2 years definitely had fans' attention. And,
yeah.
And you know, it spawned a couple reactions here and there. Like I say, we're not going to get into too much of that here on the show. If you want a little more deep dive about that, Wrestling Night Live this week, I know we're going to talk a little bit about that on Nerd Initiative.
Oh, yeah.
But, we'll, you know, like I said, we'll be recapping this after Mania, too, because I think a lot of this is going to tie into it as well.
Yep.
But now we have finally arrived at the dance, so to speak.
Yep.
Is WrestleMania weekend. Friday night, I know there's a SmackDown going on, and also the Hall of Fame induction is going to be happening.
Yep.
And then we go right into the wildest week of pro wrestling weekend of the calendar year for anybody.
Yep.
So let's get into it, Pat. Let's break it down.
Yeah, so taking place this Saturday, April the 6th, I believe the start time for the main card is 7 o'clock. Obviously, it'll be on beforehand. Check the internet when it's going to start in your time. And then also on Sunday, April 7th, again, main card starts at 7 o'clock. Pre-show will be on beforehand, but taking place from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA, WrestleMania 40. And we do know what matches are taking place on what night. This may not be the order they're in, but this was announced by Triple H, by WWE. So these matches will be taking place on this night. May, like I said, may not necessarily be this order. So don't come back and yell at us going, you said this match would be for... No, I never said that. I'm just reading off what I've got in front of me. Mm-hmm. But so the first match we're going to talk about taking place on night one is a singles match for the Women's World Championship with Rhea Ripley defending her belt against Becky Lynch.
Well, this one has had a lot of hype to it. Obviously, Rhea Ripley is the next big breakout star from pro wrestling. And what I mean by that is she is now transcending into the pop culture landscape.
Wasn't she at one point, and she might still be, like the most followed WWE superstar on TikTok?
Quite possibly.
Roman might be ahead of her now, but like I know at one point she was the most followed superstar on TikTok from WWE.
Like I say, quite possibly.
It was something like that.
Ever since her involvement with the Judgment Day, she's really elevated her stock.
Mm-hmm.
And she is getting to the point where she's transcending pro wrestling a little bit.
Yeah.
And connecting with the pop culture audience, which, I mean, when it happens, that really makes you a legendary figure in pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this happen from time to time, obviously, with, you know, Rock and Austin and John Cena.
Yep.
So to see Rhea on that course, it's awesome to see. And
yeah.
To have her go against Becky Lynch, who, again, it was somebody on that same path, too.
I'll say, if we're talking like NFL, these are two different draft classes, but these are two easy top five draft picks.
Oh, easily, yeah. No, and for what Becky Lynch has done and really to think about the path that she's blazed, you know, headlining WrestleMania and ever since she evolved into the man gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, like I say.
Ever since she got punched in the face.
Yeah, just how she's rolled that into making her another superstar that's crossed over, too. It's a big main event. It's one that's worthy of pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, it's a main event anywhere. Like I said, it's worthy of WrestleMania.
Yep.
And the build for this has been very solid. I know they've really heated it up the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Which.
Holy Christ.
I mean, obviously, with everything that's been going on with the entire shows.
Mm-hmm.
It can be easy to get lost in the shuffle.
Yep.
But I thought the build that Rhea and Becky have done for this, especially with the promo work that they've done over the past couple weeks and then the spot with Ariel Helwani, I thought they've really gained back a lot of the spotlight that they might not have had going into the month of March.
Yeah, I mean, there's 13 matches on this card. 14 if you want to count the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal taking place on SmackDown the Friday right before.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I did read the other day is there's 40 or more participants, wrestlers, taking place in some event at WrestleMania this weekend, which is astounding in and of itself that, like, you managed to work in, even with 2 days, 40 wrestlers to take place for something with WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, it's very easy to get lost in the shuffle or kind of get shuffled around a little bit when it comes to the buildup for this match. And the buildup for this match has been great. I mean, listen, it's like we said, it's two of the best female wrestlers of this generation. You know, Rhea, who's really emerging and coming into her own, and Becky, who's very well established. Don't think she is. Go back and watch the impromptu return she had at, what was it, SummerSlam 2 years ago, I think it was, you know, where the roof blew off of Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, but this match should be awesome. And I was already interested in this match. But then, you know, Rhea started bringing up Becky's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky just turned it to another level. I wasn't sure she was going to go to. I knew she had it, but I wasn't sure she was going to necessarily go up there. But the fact that she did, I'm like, okay, this is getting even better.
Yeah, this one is really going to be a show stealer, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I'll be honest. This legit could go either way.
Right.
But I'm going to say, and still.
Okay.
I'm changing my pick. I think, okay. I think somehow, some way, Rhea retains.
Okay.
And that'll solidify, like, just the dominant year she's had.
Okay.
I just, like I say, the Becky situation, I mean, I think Becky chasing the belt is interesting. Could they do the switch? Yeah, they could.
Yeah, they could.
But I got a feeling Rhea is going to hang on to it just a little bit longer.
I'm going to go with Becky Lynch. And I, my reasoning, I'm going to hold until we get to the end of this card. Because I got a reason.
Okay, sure.
I'll get to it then.
Okay.
The next matchup, though, we have is the singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship with Gunther defending his belt against Sami Zayn.
Talk about a dominant champion.
Yeah, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion in WWE history, and that's like all time.
Yeah, no, Gunther has really added some prestige to that belt that was maybe missing prior to Triple H being involved with the creative. I think the build for this has been very solid, except I do think it is a miscue not having Chad Gable in the match.
Right.
Sami Zayn obviously is a very, very worthy contender. It's nothing against, you know, what he's done.
Right.
But I think the bigger storyline is with Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're trying to do it, like, Pat, you've touched on social media, a very Rocky-esque build for this.
This is Rocky 3.
Yeah.
I mean, Sami is playing Rocky. Gunther is playing Clubber Lang. And Chad Gable's playing Apollo Creed. You know, Sami had the one match against Gunther before, lost it. You know, all of a sudden he's really doubting himself and all this, that, and the other. And he's going up again, and he's going to go up against Gunther again. And now he's got, you know, his former nemesis, his former arch rival, if you will, Chad Gable or Apollo in his ear going, listen, you can't do this. I know you can't, but if you take my training and you follow what I say, you got a chance.
Yeah.
I guarantee they're going to do some sort of like vignette or montage before this match, and he's going to run up the stairs in Philly a la Rocky. And they're probably going to get one of the songs from the Rocky movies for that vignette.
Mm.
This is full-blown Rocky 3 or Rocky 4 if you prefer that one.
Yeah.
But regardless, this is a Rocky movie, and it makes sense because they're in Philly.
No, I agree with you, too. I mean, it makes a lot of sense in that perspective. I just had this weird suspicion Chad Gable's getting in this match.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. It's
I think what's going to happen, and I'll just say now, I think Sami's going to win. Gunther's going to finally drop the belt, because I looked it up. According to WWE.com, Gunther, as of recording, has held the belt for 661 days, which is fucking absurd. But no, Gunther, listen, there's nobody left. He's got nothing left to prove with this belt. He's going to drop it to Sami. Sammy's going to have that moment in the ring. And then whether it's there or Monday Night Raw, that's when you're going to get like the thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad Gable's going to be there celebrating with him. But then he's going to turn on. Because they're already kind of teasing Chad Gable as a heel.
Yeah.
You know, because before it's always been that thank you and the peace sign, the two fingers up in the air and happy go lucky and all right, let's go, woohoo! But then after he lost that gauntlet match, the next week he showed up in a suit and tie and a lot more serious. So I think he'll be there at Mania, but in the corner, a la, you know, Apollo for Rocky 3. But once it comes time, and once that match is over, whether it's at Mania or the Raw after Mania, because I could see them doing it Raw after Mania too, just because of that pop. Gable's going to turn on him, and he's going to go full heel, and he's going to sit there and go, listen, the only reason you won that match is because of me. I'm the reason you did this. You couldn't have done this without me. I'm the real Intercontinental Champion.
I mean, it could happen.
Yeah.
I will say this. I could see Gunther winning this one and then losing to Gable on Monday night.
I could see that, too.
Yeah. Like, I think that they might play that off as well. Like, you know, Gunther gets on the mic, he starts talking a little trash, and then Gable just calls him out and says, one more chance or I'll retire. Like, he'll do something like that. I just have a feeling Chad's going to get involved some way or another.
Yep.
For this match, I will say Gunther, if Gable's in this match, Gable wins.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not, I'm going to say Gunther wins.
Okay. Next up is a six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. And the participants of this match are The Judgment Day and Finn Balor and Damian Priest defending their belts against DIY, that's Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, The Awesome Truth in The Miz and R-Truth, The New Day, in Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Also in this match, A-Town Down Under in Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And the last participant is New Catch Republic and Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Now, the thing we should note with this match is it will only end after both titles, both belts, because they still haven't merged the two belts together, and we may find out why this Sunday, have been retrieved. What that entails, nobody's really quite sure.
Right.
We'll find out, though.
Yeah, and there's a lot of rumors going around now that A-Town Down Under might not be in this match.
Yeah, I've heard those.
So we could have a mystery team get involved. I know the internet is kind of leaning that there is a team from TNA Wrestling that is now officially free agents.
Oh.
That I could see running in for one night.
Not the name I heard, but I like that one better. Name I heard was Pretty Deadly.
Well, Pretty Deadly is a name I heard get mentioned as well.
Oh, okay.
But for this spot, but I honestly think is going to be Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, the Motor City Machine Guns.
I like that, but no, listen, no disrespect to Pretty Deadly. I like the TNA crew better.
Well, it's a big question mark about what they're going to do because they are free agents.
Yep.
And if WWE can pull that off, that would be huge.
Right.
And I would say that, honestly, if they're going to leave, they could go two spots, really. I mean,
yeah.
WWE would be a very interesting landscape for them. I could definitely see it happening. But I could also see them going just to AEW because they would still be allowed to work the indies. Alex Shelley is very involved in the indie scene, so I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But if they can get him for one night for this match, I think that would be amazing. And obviously those two in a ladder match environment like this would just add a little more prestige to the belts.
Yeah.
I do agree with you, though. I think they are going to be splitting up the tag team titles.
That's got to be what it is because the belts have been unified for a while now. Like, I forget when exactly it happened. But the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, you know, unified the belts a while ago, held them for a record length of time. And then they just never, despite the rumors and despite the, you know, dirt sheets saying that, oh, they've got mock designs for, a unified belt a la Roman's belt.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never seen anything. That's got to be what it is that the way this match is going to work, you're going to have one team come down with the Raw red belts, another team come down with the SmackDown blue belts, and split them up.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Obviously, with the tag team titles, with the network deals, I should say, rather,
yep.
With Raw going to Netflix, USA is getting SmackDown.
SmackDown.
I could see them wanting their own tag team champions.
Sure.
And it makes a lot of sense to do it now instead of later.
Well, and plus, let's be honest, the whole Undisputed thing, it's a clusterfuck.
Well, it gets messy because of how the storyline's written, and it's tough because when you have to go between two shows, you have multiple contenders, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This frees up a lot.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, though, Raw is going to have the Awesome Truth win the tag team titles.
Okay.
Miz and R-Truth are winning the Raw belts.
Okay.
The big question mark is SmackDown.
Right.
And I'm going to say, just throwing something out on a shot in the wind, so to speak.
Okay.
I think the New Day winds up getting them.
Okay.
I'm going to say them in a little bit of an upset.
Okay.
Because I know that technically they're not on Raw now, but I could see something happening there where they wind up getting the belts. Either way, I think Judgment Day is going beltless in this situation.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I agree with you. Judgment Day is going to lose this, but I think it's going to be Awesome Truth getting the SmackDown belts.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go over to SmackDown, and listen, it's a homer pick, but I don't give a fuck. DIY getting the Raw belts.
I would love that.
Give them their moment. They've been in WWE for, how many years now? Give them their moment. Let them do their thing. Give them a run. Doesn't got to be record-setting run, but give them a run. They deserve it.
I'm here for it. I'd love to see. Just the fact that Gargano and Ciampa are on Mania.
Exactly. I'm over the fucking moon.
See, and then here's the thing. If they do, I just want to see him face Motor City Machine Guns on Raw.
Night after Mania.
Give it to
me. We're going to do an open challenge.
Give it to me. Oy. I'm here for it.
Also, I think your Motor City Machine Gun thing could still work because let's not forget, the regime now, as opposed to the previous regime, is a lot more open to indie dates and stuff. Case in point, Shayna Baszler working GCW.
Yeah, but you know, like
it might not be an every week thing, but when it works out and when the schedule allows it, they might find some time.
Maybe. I'll just say maybe with that, but I'll give it like a 20% maybe.
Okay. Next up is a singles match, and it's brother versus brother. Brother. It's Jimmy Uso taking on his brother, main event Jey Uso.
Mark my words, this is opening up the show.
Probably.
This will be your opening match.
He's Rikishi special guest referee.
Maybe.
Because he wants in this whole bloodline thing in the worst way possible.
Well, I'm sure. It's arguably the biggest storyline in pro wrestling history. Everybody wants to be involved. And they have done a great job about building this up.
Yeah, they have.
Since the demise of the bloodline, I know it got a little weird.
Yeah, took a couple different turns.
Yeah, in the initial phases. But now Jimmy Uso is coming into his own as his character.
Goddamn, yeah, he is.
You know, just how he's portraying himself as the over-the-top, cocky...
Yep.
You know, the quarterback is...
Almost like a frat boy.
Yeah, like I say, it almost plays in that with how he's handling...
Sees Lil Wayne backstage and Monday Night Raw daps him up.
Well, that's Jay. That's Jay.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. That's Jay.
Yeah, that was Jay. Yeah. No, Jimmy has been playing just kissing up to Roman too much and saying, I'm the quarterback. Give me the ball.
Yeah.
So he's really ran with this, but Jey Uso, which, I mean, we talked about this way back when, in the starts of the Roman Reigns empire.
Yep.
He was poised to make that singles run a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And I could see him, honestly, if Gunther wins on Sunday, I could see Jey challenging him maybe the night after.
I could see it.
And getting the belt then.
Didn't he challenge Gunther for the IC belt?
And Jimmy cost him.
And Jimmy cost him. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I think all signs point to this being the year of main event Jey Uso.
I agree.
Jay's winning this one hands down.
I don't know how many people are going to be there. You can read numbers and speculation on how big the crowd's going to be. Every single one of those people, when main event Jey Uso comes out, is going to be doing like the hand thing and doing the yeet. Okay, that's going to be amazing.
It's going to be out of control.
It's going to be out of control. Man's going to have Lil Wayne coming down to the ring with him. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, that's what I say. If he's getting a special music entrance,
yep.
He's not losing.
No, he's not. Next up is a 6-women tag team match that was just made official this past Friday on SmackDown. And you've got Damage Control in Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane taking on the team of Bianca Belair, Naomi, and making her in-ring debut, not in the Royal Rumble, Jade Cargill.
Perfect way to do it.
Uh-huh.
So this match, I will say I'm slightly disappointed it's not the women's tag team titles getting defended.
It's the only belt not getting defended this weekend.
Right, but I'm not mad about this match.
They're still involved, yeah.
They're still involved. I could see this being a night after show where they are defending on Raw too.
Yeah.
But I loved how they built this up, and especially Bianca with Naomi is gonna and Jade like that.
The setup they did on Friday, where like Damage Control was attacking Bianca and Naomi, and Jade, rather than like coming storming out of the back of gorilla position, sprinting to the ring to save her friends, just slowly walked out, stared him down, and went, "Yeah, I'm here. You got to deal with me."
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're booking Jade perfectly right
now. Yes, they are.
Because, let's face it, when she was in AEW, she was still very new to the business.
Agreed.
We've said this numerous times.
Agreed.
They're taking their time with her. Bianca can definitely, you know, her with Naomi, like I say, the three of them, if they formed a faction, that's only more beneficial for Jade to just be learning from Bianca and Naomi. Like I say, but they're going to make, I mean... Jade is a star in the making. Bianca's a star. Naomi's a star. Like, this is just star power all over this. And what they're doing, especially Damage Control, which Dakota Kai just coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Asuka star. Kairi Sane coming back, too. Yep. I mean, she's a superstar as well. This is going to be a big money match.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. But I'm going to say Jade is winning. Jade will get the pin. I'm going to say on Dakota.
Okay.
But I could definitely see maybe after this a Jade versus Asuka feud.
See, I agree with you. I think the team of Bianca, Jade, and Naomi is going to win, but I think they're going to set up Jade huge.
Yes.
As if she's not already like got a rocket strapped to her back going for the, you know, the stars.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to get the pin, and she's going to pin Asuka clean in the ring.
Oh, okay.
Clean. I'm calling it now.
I'm here for it.
Next up is a tag team match between the LWO, Latino World Order, in Rey Mysterio and newest member Dragon Lee, taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
Not going to lie, this feels very thrown together.
Yes, it does.
And listen, I love everybody involved in this.
I do too.
So I'm not mad about it, but as far as the other matches go, I'm not invested. I really don't understand why Dominic is involved in this.
The only reason I would care about this is if Ray and Dragon Lee get like DJ Jazzy Jeff to come out with them because Philly. That's about the only reason I care. But I mean, this match feels very thrown together. I mean, I realize Latino LWO with Ray and Santos and that whole crew have been going at it for a couple of weeks, but like, it really hasn't felt like it's built to anything. Like, okay, this is the moment. This is, you know, the combustion point where everything comes to a head. It feels like we're still partway through the story.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense unless they're teasing breaking Dominic away from Judgment Day.
Nah, they're teasing something.
That's the only thing. I know the deal with Andrade, which I'm not putting any stock in on that with him in Judgment Day. I think that's just kind of a throwaway thing.
All I know with Andrade is they're making me care for him more this time around than they did his entire run the first time around, outside NXT. His NXT run was amazing. But this go around, I give a lot more shits.
Well, it's because Triple H.
That's true.
Hands down.
That's true.
So this one, listen, I'm going to say Santos and Dominic win.
I'm going to say LWO, and this is the reason I said earlier that Rhea was going to lose. It is not going to be a good night for Judgment Day. They're going to lose everything. They're going to go from top of the mountain to bottom of the mountain.
Ooh.
Because let's face it, how long have they been saying, we run Monday Night Raw? We got everything. They got the women's belt. They got the tag belts. At one point, they had the NXT North American belt. What is it? Damian Priest has got Money in the Bank. They had everything. They got the cool clubhouse. They got the dartboard. They got everything. It's not going to be a good night for them. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have to regroup, rebuild. Maybe some people leave. Maybe some people come in. We'll see. But I think it's going to be the LWO winning. And I would not be surprised. I know there's a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation going around about Carlito possibly turning on Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, since Carlito's been back, they really haven't done a ton.
No, they haven't.
So I would like to see that happen.
And then lastly, and we know this is going to be the main event of night one, in a tag team match between The Bloodline with The Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. And of course, the stipulation of this is if Cody and Seth win, all members of The Bloodline will be barred from ringside during the Cody and Roman match on night two. But if Rock and Roman win, the championship match on night two will be held under Bloodline rules. Going to give you a spoiler alert, folks. No matter how this match goes, the Bloodline's fucking showing up night two.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to like, to quote Paul Heyman, that's not a prediction. That's a spoiler.
And of course, I think the Bloodline, the Bloodline has to win.
Yeah.
Rock and Roman are not losing this match.
The story is Cody getting the absolute shit kicked out of him for the better part of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually, ironically, today as we record, at a year, because WrestleMania Night 2 from last year was a year ago today. You know, Cody's been getting the shit kicked out of him for a year and having to, like, overcome the odds. You know, losing to Roman in front of his family, friends, and his kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in front of the biggest WrestleMania crowd of all time or whatever the hell it was. You know, and coming back and, you know what? That's not going to keep me down. Roman, I want to take you on in a tag match. Oh, you got to find an opponent, blah, blah, blah. He teams up with Brock, except the match never starts because Brock F5s him into oblivion. And then it's a series of matches against Brock. He overcomes and he beats Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Then he takes on Shinsuke Nakamura, and he's got to overcome Shinsuke Nakamura, and he's got to overcome all this stuff. He's got to win the Royal Rumble a second time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that's been the story, and that's going to be the payoff that, like, I know some folks are really, you know, upset and really nervous and all this about him getting his shit kicked in the last 2 weeks. But that's part of the story, is that when you finally get to that moment where you're at the mountaintop and he finally does it, it feels that much better.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And we got one more little plateau before we got to hit the mountaintop.
Yeah, but this one, yeah, this is going to be all Rock and Roman. Shenanigans are going to
Heavy and fast.
But yeah, this is going to be them setting up for a very, very big night too.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, let's get a quick break out of the way. So hit us up on the hashtag ODPagePod. What is your thoughts and predictions for WrestleMania Night 1 taking place Saturday night, April 6th, live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Lincoln Field and on Peacock on streaming services? Let's talk about that. Give us your predictions. But we're going to talk about Night 2 when we get back. But we're going to take a quick break. Here we go.
Hey all, I'm Frank. Join me and my friends as we talk about all things geek. Here at Geek Freaks Podcast, we go over the weekly news of everything in geekdom, from movies to TV, video games, and comic books. We also have a growing YouTube community. Join us as we go over everything in your geek life and share in the love of geekdom.
Coming back for part two of our WrestleMania preview edition of the ODPH podcast. We covered night one last segment. Now let's get into night two, shall we?
Yeah, so the first match, again, these are all matches that have been announced as taking place on night two. Might not be the order they take place in, so don't yell at me. I'm just going based off of what WWE and Triple H have told us.
That's why we say card subject to change.
Yep. So the first match we're going to talk about on night two is a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship with Seth freaking Rollins defending his belt against Drew McIntyre.
Well, Seth Rollins has been on a roll since winning this belt.
Uh-huh.
He's defended it pretty much every week.
Yeah.
For the most part. He has been a fighting champion, but let's face it, Drew McIntyre has elevated his stock tremendously over the past few months.
Yes, he has.
He is arguably the most over heel in the company.
Uh-huh.
And he is poised to have a breakout year yet again. And I know there are some people that are concerned about his contract status. Look, I will just tell you right now, there's no chance WWE is letting him go.
Yeah.
And I know that he does not want to leave WWE. So it's just a formality, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, I fully think the work that he's been doing has won him this title shot even before the ring has happened,
mm-hmm.
or the match has happened. He is going to win this, and he is going to get to celebrate in front of the crowd of the thousands
mm-hmm.
at the Link.
The Link.
The Link. But I'm going to say this.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling that gets interrupted
mm-hmm.
by one Damian Priest.
Mm.
That something happens after the match, because we do know there's a guest commentator at ringside.
CM Punk.
And I don't doubt him hitting him with that cast he has on his arm.
Which looks very, very strong.
Mm-hmm. Knocking him out after he does his victory lap.
Yep.
And Damian Priest comes and cashes in.
I could see it.
So that's where I'm going to say we're going to have two world title changes in this match.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be Drew McIntyre winning the belt, because let's face it, he is the biggest shit starter on the internet these days.
Mm-hmm.
And he deserves his moment in front of the fans. It's like he said, listen, nothing he has said about his last big WrestleMania title win was wrong. It was in front of nobody other than production staff, and well, that ain't really much. You know, so I think he's going to get his win. He's definitely going to celebrate in front of the fans. But let's face it, for as much as he says Seth is obsessed with the bloodline, Drew is as equally obsessed with CM Punk. How many pieces of merchandise has he come out with since Punk went down that kind of poke the fun at, hey, CM Punk's here, not here, and I am?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like you said, Punk is going to be on commentary. I agree with you. I think it's going to be he goes out to celebrate with and rub it in Punk's face like, ha, I want a belt and you didn't. I got my WrestleMania moment and you didn't. And I agree with you. Punk's going to knock his ass out because, well, Punk don't take that sitting down. And that's when Priest is going to come cashing in, because let's face it, I agree McIntyre should get his moment, but I think the better moment is for him to get it and immediately lose it.
Yeah.
Because for me, Drew, it like at this level and the character he's been the last couple of months, it's better when he's chasing.
Yeah, I agree. I fully agree, and that's why I say I don't think he's walking out with the belt. He will win it, and then it'll get ruined, and that'll only drive his hatred for CM Punk even more.
It won't be the shortest title reign of all time. I think that one goes to Rollins from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Before Dean Ambrose, not then John Moxley, now cashed in on him. I think that was like 2 or 3 minutes and change.
Yeah, something.
It won't be that short, but it'll be real short.
Yes, I agree.
Next up is a singles match for the WWE Women's Championship with Io Sky defending her belt against Bayley.
Done. This has been a great story build.
Yeah.
I know it's really not had as many headlines as Rhea and Becky, but this has still been a very solid build. Bayley, who constructed damage control, is now getting attacked by her own creation.
Uh-huh.
And Io Sky has been a hell of a champion. And this is really going to be a fun match.
Yes, it is.
I think, though, at the end of the day, we're going to have a new.
Mm-hmm.
I would not doubt she gets some help from somebody.
Probably.
Arguably a Jade Cargill, Bianca, Naomi.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get some help there.
Yeah.
But I think she wins.
I agree. Bayley, to this point, I don't even think has a major WrestleMania moment. that I can think of. Maybe a hashtag ODPH pod if I'm wrong. But she definitely deserves one. You know, she definitely deserves that big entrance, whatever it is. Well, I know she wants to use a song from, I believe it's Paramore.
Yes.
And Paramore has given permission to her to use said song.
I did not know that.
I believe that's what it is. Is Hayley Williams from Paramore found out she wants to use it. She's like, yeah, go ahead. So allegedly, she's given, I'll say that, permission. If I'm wrong, don't sue me.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's going to be Bayley. She deserves a WrestleMania moment. And I agree with you. Because of the way it's set up from night one with Jade and Naomi and Bianca taking on the other members of Damage Control, there's going to be shenanigans involved with this, but I think they're going to end up helping Bayley win and give her that moment and that feel-good moment.
Yeah, so I think it's going to play out perfectly, yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good feel-good. Next up is a singles match between AJ Styles and L.A. Knight.
Yeah. Well, this was not the match we originally had penned in place.
No, it was not.
L.A. Knight is arguably one of the most over wrestlers on the roster.
Yes, he is.
I will admit, though, it feels like he's cooled off a little bit.
He's gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit.
A little bit, ever since he had his title shot against Roman Reigns at the Crown Jewel pay-per-view.
Yep.
So since that point, though, I think they're just waiting to kind of see how it plays out with him.
Yeah.
The crowd is still invested, and this feud, I will say, I thought it'd be more catching to me than it has been. But
it's fine.
But it's fine. I mean, AJ's going to have a great match. Yeah. I mean, it's AJ Styles. I mean,
allegedly, he's going to have new music.
Yeah, we've heard about that allegedly. So that'll be something too. But I think at the end of the day, LA Knight needs this moment.
Yep.
More than AJ.
Philly might riot if LA Knight loses.
Well, you have to imagine that he is still over. That crowd is going to be very in tune to what he's doing.
Like I say,
the original match I had in Pendon was going to be taking on Logan Paul. I think that would have been a better storyline. But this is still going to be a great match, and I think LA Knight needs this win more than AJ does.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I'm going to go LA Knight as well. Mm-hmm. Next up is a triple threat for the WWE United States Championship, and you've got Logan Paul defending his belt against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens.
Well, what can we say about Logan Paul?
He's very good.
Listen, love him or hate him outside of the ring, in the ring, he is great.
Yes, he is.
And being such a young talent, he's mastered the business a little bit faster than I think anybody wants to give him credit for.
Agreed.
And I will say this. I am not doubting he is in the world title match at SummerSlam.
Okay.
I'm going to put that out there right now.
Okay.
However, though, for this match, I think he does wind up losing, though.
Okay.
I think he's at this point that he's done a lot of cool things with the U.S. title and forced the tournament to get him a contender.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if he still needs the belt.
I don't think so.
And I think that Randy Orton is a great opponent for him.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that threw me off with this match, and granted, I'm not mad about this, but it seems like Kevin Owens is just kind of thrown in there.
Yeah.
Like, and he's obviously somebody you can plug and play all you need to. So it just is a little puzzling to see him get in this match, but I'm not mad about it because he's always great no matter what he does, especially in Mania.
Right.
So I would say this. I think it could be a situation where he hits Logan with a stunner and then Randy hits him with an RKO.
Could be.
And then pins Logan to get the belt. So I'm going to say Randy Orton takes this.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing against Logan Paul, but like, him holding the belt isn't really doing anything for me. Just because as busy as he is and as much as he's got going on and his own business ventures and his own personal life, he can't be there every week. So I feel like the title's lost just a little bit of luster. Not much, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think Logan's going to lose it, but I think he's going to actually lose it to Kevin Owens.
Okay.
I'm going to go a little bit different. I think he's going to Kevin Owens is going to get it just because it's been a minute since he's had a belt. I know, realize Randy, it's been a minute too, but Randy I think has had one more recently than Kevin Owens has.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be Kevin Owens' moment to shine.
Okay.
Next up is a six-man Philadelphia street fight between The Pride in Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford, a.k.a. the Street Profits, with B-Fab, versus The Final Testament in Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar, who will also have Scarlett and Paul Ellering.
I will say this. This storyline is perfect for WrestleMania street fight.
Yep.
These two factions have been feuding, and I think both of them have kind of been lost in the shuffle as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of the logo for the Final Testament.
I like the group. Don't like the logo.
I like the group too. I think if you can give Karrion Kross time on the mic and have him working with a Paul Ellering, like, that's huge.
Yep.
And the Authors of Pain are going to be bringing it.
Yeah, they are.
And I think that this is going to be a match that they win outright.
Okay.
And I think this causes Bobby Lashley to turn heel on the Street Profits.
Okay.
But I tell you what, I'm happy all six members and their entourages are on the card.
Because yeah.
I think that they are all doing good things. It just is like a storyline that, yeah, it's on TV. We don't hear too much about it.
No.
But to give them a WrestleMania moment, I think it's perfect. And I'm super happy for this.
I agree with you. Final Testament's going to win. I'm also going to say, because it's a street fight, either B-Fab, Scarlett, or Paul Ellering are going through a table. At least two of them are going through a table. Just saying.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's Philadelphia. There's no way a table isn't getting broken during this match.
Yeah, something crazy is going to happen.
Something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we get to the main event. The match we're all waiting for. The match a year ago. We didn't think they'd be able to do it, but here we are on the cusp of it. Again, a singles match for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. Regardless of what happens on night one, Bloodline showing up night two.
This will be a mess.
So let's not forget, Solo Sikoa was ejected from ringside at Mania last year. And he kicked out. Go watch the tape. The referee kicked him out, threw him out and said, get out of here. And he still came back.
Yeah, this... Well, let's put this in perspective.
Okay.
So last year, WrestleMania happens. Cody Rhodes, the prodigal son, returns to WWE after going to AEW.
Yep.
Has a calendar year, tears the bicep off.
Yeah.
You know, the muscle off, and one of the nastiest injuries you've ever seen, and he still wrestled through a match.
Yes, he did.
Wins the Royal Rumble, gets his moment, and then Roman Reigns defeats him.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet, along with yours truly, and I think everybody was here at the watch party last year, lost their minds. Listen, I'll be the first one to tell you.
I had a feeling the night WrestleMania ended akin to the Patriots losing the Super Bowl. I was not happy. No, I'm not saying I was pissed off and throwing shit, but I was so fucking dejected.
But
I went so far as to mute WWE socials on my personal social media accounts because I did not want to see the stuff about Roman winning. I'll be honest. I was that dejected about it.
I remember talking with JT from Beyond the Batcave. Shout out to JT about this. And we had probably a very lengthy thread going on text message till about like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We were just that pissed off about it. But this is one thing that proves that storyline worked. We all were invested.
Yeah.
And then to see what they did now, this is where we trust the process of Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes has gone through Brock Lesnar,
yep.
Shinsuke Nakamura,
yep.
The Bloodline,
yep.
Now winning the Royal Rumble for another year.
First two-time back-to-back Royal Rumble winner in 20-some-odd years.
Mm-hmm. The crowd is fully behind him.
Uh-huh.
They've now entered The Rock into the picture, which I know fans were waiting to see if he was ever going to come back to face Roman. And then it kind of was set up, and then the fans were not into it.
That's coming.
Yeah, so that all got turned. We had the press conference in Vegas. The Rock did the Slap Heard Round Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It has now set off the feud that you see right now. Seth Rollins is involved because Seth has now turned into the Eddie Kingston of WWE, meaning he's the heart and soul, which, like, listen, that there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But to see how protective he is of the brand, and rightfully so, like, I think you have to take a look at somebody that, since he's been there, he hasn't left. And he wants to be the best. He wants to be the face of the franchise. So he's really taken this upon himself.
Yeah.
So to see their, you know, uneasy alliance, because let's face it, Cody was also feuding with Seth for many, many, you know, of the calendar year leading into the first match against Roman.
Yep.
To see them now in this match, and obviously the tag team match set up the night before, the cinematic stuff that's been going on with The Rock and Cody, it is all boiled into this moment to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We are now at the dance. So how is this all going down, Pat?
Well, I think this has got to be Cody. because I don't think you can do this a third time. And I think if you have Cody go through all the hell and high water he's gone through in the last calendar year, the Cody character is dead. You've killed it. There's no coming back from it. That you can't repeat this process for another year. And I think what this match is going to be is I saw the comparison made and I really liked it. So I'm going to borrow from that comparison. Last year's WrestleMania main event between Roman and Cody was Avengers Infinity War.
Mm.
You went into it. Every other instance, the good guys had won. And you expected them to win because, hey, let's face it. It's a comic book movie. It's an action movie. That's what happens. The good guys win.
Yeah.
Obvious exceptions, you know, Empire Strikes Back and whatever else. But 99% of the time, good guys come out on top. Except though that one time. And except those times where the Avengers lost.
Mm-hmm.
They lost big. And you went, holy shit, how are they going to come back from this? And this year is going to be the Avengers Endgame. Where now you're going to have Cody's involved. Roman's involved. The Rock's involved. Seth Rollins, like you alluded to, is involved. Jimmy Uso's involved. Solo Sikoa's involved. Jey Uso's involved. So, like I said, the last segment, you know, this match is going to be bloodline rules because what's going to end up happening is you're going to have, you know, The Rock come out and try and interfere. And you're going to have Seth Rollins come out and you know, Solo and Jey are going to, Jimmy are going to come out and you're going to have Jey come out. But I also think you're going to get Sami Zayn to come out because let's face it, Sami is tired of, if you think back to last year's WrestleMania, Sami's as tired of the bloodline as everybody else is. Mm-hmm. Sammy's going to come out and he's going to help, you know, and then what's going to end up happening is just because of a numbers thing. Who's the last person Solo Sikoa beat in a match?
That's a great question.
John Cena.
Oh yeah.
The last person Solo's on a losing streak stretching back to Crown Jewel or whatever the hell it was against John Cena. We know Cena's rumored to be there. We just don't know in what capacity. So I get the feeling Cena's going to show up and Cena's going to help stop the bloodline because Cena's tired of it. He's got a score to settle with Solo Sikoa. Will it lead to a match? Probably not, but hey, he's going to be there. He's going to help stop. And then the ultimate hit, it's going to be because you figure about it, we're missing one person. We're going to go for the pop of all time. Biggest WrestleMania moment of all time. The glass is going to shatter and we're going to get a rerun of WrestleMania. What was it? 17? Rock and Stone Cold. In the ring, Stone Cold comes out, shocks the hell out of Rock. Oh my God, what, you know, didn't expect him to be here. Gives him a stunner, takes him out. And that just leaves it because what I'm going to go back to something I said over a year ago now. To beat Roman Reigns, you need to take down every single member of the bloodline. Stone Cold's going to take out Rock. Seth's going to take out whoever.
Solo.
Cena's going to take out Solo. Jimmy's going to take out Jey. You know, at that point, Paul Heyman's there, but Paul's really, no offense to, you know, the future Hall of Famer, Paul's really not that much of a factor. But you've also got Seth. At that point, there is no one left to defend Roman. And how has Roman been winning all of these matches for his record-breaking title reign? With the help of the bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
With the help of, at times, Jimmy Uso, at the help of times of Jey Uso for a stretch of it, with Solo helping him, you know, but it's going to come down to it. Roman is going to be left standing in the ring with no, looking for help, and there's no one there left to help him.
Yeah.
So, and it's going to be Cody's moment.
I agree with you. I think Cody has to win this.
Yeah.
I know there's been kind of some speculation about dragging this out. Until...
They could. Because I know Roman's close to Hogan's title reign or whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you kill the Cody character if he loses this. There's no coming back from it.
I just don't see how they could extend it. Like, I mean, I do because if they want to break Hogan's record, like if that really means something to the company. But I could see, I don't think it matters as much as some people want to believe it is.
Right.
I mean, it's still the biggest storyline in wrestling, but The Rock is leaving. We do know that.
Right.
Because he's got movies coming up.
Right, and I think the way they explain that is you get to night after WrestleMania, and The Rock comes out, tries pulling some of his shit, because the whole thing he's been saying since, you know, the press conference in Vegas is how he's on the board and how I'm a boss. I'm on the board. I'm your boss. Blah, 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 blah. Who's somebody else who's, you know, high up in WWE who we haven't seen since, say, you know, press scrum after a show or since the press conference in Vegas? Triple H.
Right.
So I think the storyline is going to be Rock in kayfabe, not in real life, but in kayfabe, you're going to get to night after WrestleMania, Rock's going to try pulling some shit, and Triple H is going to come out and go, Rock, I talked to the other members of the board, and you've been fired effective immediately. In kayfabe, that way he can go off about his day, and we can set up for the Roman match that's probably going to happen down the road.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways they could do that. I mean, they could have something where Rock turns on Roman.
I could see that.
And, you know, helps Cody win. And then the next night he says, you've never been the head of the table. I'm a great actor. That's why I had you fooled.
Yeah.
Get ready in another year. It's you and me at Mania.
Yeah.
And just leave that, you know, tease the main event right there, right then and there.
Yeah.
That's a great thing about this is there's so many different ways they can go.
Yeah.
And I just think at the end of this, I don't see them not making the title change. I just don't. I mean, if they did and they want to extend it to Madison Square Garden, I mean, they could.
Yeah.
But I just don't see the purpose of
it. No, there's not.
I'm sorry. Like, it just, I just don't think that mark to beat Hogan is that big.
No.
I think a thousand days was.
Yeah, 1,000 days, and he's over, what, 1,300, 1,400?
Yeah, he's 1,300 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't see the point now. But it's going to be interesting to see it happen. I think there's going to be a lot of shenanigans. I'm not doubting you and Rich are both saying, you know, Austin makes an appearance.
I think it's entirely possible.
I think so, too. Unless they want to just keep this with Rock turning on Roman and setting up for the main event next year.
I could see that. But what I could see happening is because let's not forget Roman had the A&E biography over the weekend where he said on the biography that documentary that like, hey, I lose this belt, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I could see him losing the belt, leaving, and then down the road at, say, SummerSlam, you get Cody versus The Rock. Mm-hmm. You know, you set up for that match because, hey, they've obviously got a grudge to settle one-on-one. Cody did challenge him to a singles match any place, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
Never went answered. You know, we got the tag match, but yeah. But I could see it leading to a singles match at SummerSlam in, I believe it's Cleveland, Ohio this year.
Yes.
And at the towards the end of that match, in a move, you know, you don't see coming, Roman comes out and interferes with The Rock winning the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets up for them at Mania.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, they can do a lot.
Yeah, they can.
With this. But I think at the end of the day, though, Cody's walking out with the belt.
Cody's got to.
And then the Monday Night Raw after.
Oh, boy.
Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Ooh.
It's going to happen.
Ooh.
The internet is going to melt a little bit.
There is a certain portion of the internet that's going to melt, and I'm here for it.
I am here with my popcorn for that. So we'll definitely be recapping that.
Yes.
But before we get out of here, though.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, because the Hall of Fame ceremony is taking place on Friday, April 5th, right after the episode of Friday Night SmackDown. I'm not sure if it's going to be, it's going to be live streamed on Peacock in the United States and on the WWE Network internationally. And the list of inductees we have this year in the celebrity wing, you have Muhammad Ali, of course, the posthumous inductee. He was a 3-time world heavyweight boxing champion, Olympic gold medalist, and he competed in the War of the Worlds match against Antonio Inoki. And then he was also a special guest referee at WrestleMania 1 main event.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the group, you know, the tag team, you've got the U.S. Express, who are a 2-time WWF tag team champion. Of course, you've got Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda were in that team as well. And then some of the other folks that are getting inducted this year, you've got announced last night yesterday as we record on The Rock's personal social media accounts, Leah Maivia, a posthumous inductee. Of course, The Rock is going to be inducting her. The reading from the description on Wikipedia, quote, one of wrestling's first female promoters ran Polynesian Pro Wrestling, a territory of the National Wrestling Alliance in Hawaii in the mid-1980s. Her promotion ran a show called Polynesian Pacific Pro Wrestling on the Financial News Network. Also, Thunderbolt Patterson is going to be going in. And also, along with that, Bull Nakano and Paul Heyman.
hell of a class.
That is a very good class.
Yeah, very excited to see the ceremonies on Friday night.
Yeah.
What can you say? They really are elevating this Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah.
To be something, you know, like I say, it's always great to acknowledge those that have left the legendary mark in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And especially now with I've heard there's more talk about actually doing a physical building.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think
I've seen the videos of the WWE warehouse where all, like, I don't want to call it merch, but like all the supplies and past stuff they've used. Like, they've still got the fist from the old SmackDown entrance. Yeah. That warehouse is absurd. You make a physical Hall of Fame with the inductees and memorabilia from over the years. Hi, I'll go 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I think it's great. The class is great.
Yeah.
All well-deserving. I mean, the Paul Heyman...
That's going to be the most interesting one, I think.
The Paul Heyman speech is going to be great.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Him with a live mic.
Yep.
Not in character, just being Paul.
And behind a paywall, effectively.
Yeah.
Because that's not a free live stream.
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting to watch on Friday night, and it's a perfect way to lead into the showcase of the Immortals.
Yeah,
WrestleMania is definitely going to be the buzz of pro wrestling fans this weekend, so hit us up on that hashtag ODPHpod. What is your thoughts about the two-day event? How do you think it's going to go? Does Cody finish his story, or does it get ruined yet again? And the rest of the card, let's talk about it, and for even more pro wrestling talk this week, make sure at a special time, Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Nerd Initiative Streaming Network and YouTube. Wrestling Night Live is giving their official breakdown. So Nick and Rich and I are going to break down everything as well. So I might have some picks to get changed. And you never know who's going to stop by. Stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, hit us up. Let us know. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Tom from Tom Joe Lou.
This is Matt from Sideroom Sounds.
And you're listening to ODPH Podcast.
Wanna go where no one knows my name. To the desert, the oceans, or the plains. Cause I wanna...
Coming back for the final segment on this edition of the ODPH Podcast. Still a couple of different things going on in the land of sports, so let's talk about it, Pat.
Yeah, I got to talk about the local minute first, and looking at the standings for the Federal Prospects Hockey League. That is, of course, the league our local Binghamton Black Bears play in. Another week, still in first place in the Empire Division.
That's right.
Through 50 games played, they have a record of 31 wins in regulation, 10 losses, 7 losses in either overtime or shootout, no wins in overtime, and they do have 2 shootout wins. They're in first place with 104 points. Motor City's in second place with 91 points. Danbury is in third place with 86 points. Elmira's in fourth with 57 points. And Watertown is in last place with 54 points. Of course, Binghamton has won the division. They've clinched a playoff spot along with Motor City and Danbury. From the other division, the Continental Division, you've got Columbus, Carolina, Port Huron, and Mississippi all clinching playoff spots. Wytheville and Baton Rouge, who are in the bottom 2 spots of the Continental Division, are eliminated from the playoffs. So it looks like Elmira and Watertown are still in play for one of the final playoff spots. The only thing we know is Binghamton's in the playoffs. The brackets have not been updated yet, so we don't know who or when they're playing. But like we said, we will give you more information on that when it becomes available.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at the schedule from this past week for the Binghamton Black Bears, they had a couple of games this past week. The first of which was Friday, 7:05 p.m. Eastern. They were on the road playing the Port Huron Prowlers, lost by a final score of 4-1, and then they went on the road again on Saturday, March 30th, where they faced the Motor City Rockers and lost by the final score of 6-4. Looking ahead to this upcoming week, they got a couple of games this week. The first game is on Wednesday, April the 3rd at 7:05 p.m. Eastern. They're on the road playing the Elmira River Sharks. Then Friday, April 5th at 7 o'clock Eastern, they're back at home against the Danbury Hat Tricks. Then Saturday, April 6th, 7 o'clock Eastern, they're back at home again playing the Danbury Hat Tricks. Then the final game of the weekend there is Sunday, April the 7th at 7:05 p.m. Eastern. They're on the road playing the Watertown Wolves. So we got 2 opportunities to see them this weekend. If you do not get an opportunity to see them this weekend for the regular season, you only have 1 more opportunity after this weekend to see them at home, and that will be Saturday, April 13th. Then we get into playoffs. But for more information, tickets, all that good stuff, BinghamtonBlackBears.com. And just one more reminder for the Rebel Ponies. Their season does start this Friday. They've got a 3-game series this weekend going up against New Hampshire. First game is Friday, April the 5th, 6:35 p.m. Eastern. Saturday is at 1:05 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday is at 1:05 p.m. Eastern. Their next home series will not be until April 16th, so definitely get a chance. You should see them this weekend, and if not, you know, wait till the April 16th. But for more tickets, information, and Binghamton Rumble Pony stuff, bingrp.com.
Weather permitting,
yes.
We want to put that big asterisk by it.
Yes. Then we're going to talk some Major League Baseball, because the Major League Baseball season has officially started. Everybody started playing as of last week. And how about them Yankees? 5-0, baby. Swept the Houston Astros.
You love to see it.
Love to see him playing a hell of a game. Juan Soto playing out of his goddamn mind. Holy shit. I knew this guy was good, but wow, he's a lot better than I thought. Gotta say, I like the team's moxie. They're a little gritty, a little gutsy, making a couple come from behind wins. But this is a team I think last year put in the same situation. They're fucking losing those games. And meanwhile, this is without the reigning, defending, undisputed American League Cy Young Award winner, Gerrit Cole, not pitching any of these games. So the fact they're doing this, hell of a matchup they got going on. Also got to talk a couple things. Baltimore Orioles, good for you. Holy fuck, they're 3-1 to start the season. But they're beating They beat the tar out of the Angels over the weekend.
Yeah.
They've scored 31 runs, and they've only allowed 15 through four games. They got a run differential of plus 16, which is fucking absurd. Tampa Bay Rays in the American League East tied for last place with the Blue Jays. They're 2-3. Listen, I kind of figured the Rays wouldn't be that good this year. They've lost a couple pieces and really haven't added anything, so not totally surprising.
Mm-hmm.
The Oakland Athletics are as bad as expected, to be expected.
Yeah.
1-4, allegedly demoting people for some reasons that are not exactly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly demoting people for some reasons that are not exactly kosher. Look it up on your own time. Then you've got the New York Mets, which, yay. Hey, 0-4, not doing so hot. Can't even retaliate against a player in the right way.
The Mets are just a mess right now.
Yeah, they're a hot mess. And then NL West looking not so bad. You got Dodgers in first, 5-2. Diamondbacks 3-2. Padres are 3-4. Giants are 2-3. Rockies are 1-4. Not looking too bad. Although the story everyone's talking about, of course, the Astros got. Did I mention the Houston Astros got swept by the New York Yankees?
I don't think you did.
Yeah, the Houston Astros got swept by the New York Yankees, and it took a fucking no hitter for them to come out of their losing funk. Got to give a shout out to. Listen, I don't give the Astros their flowers, but I'll give this dude his flowers. Ronel Blanco threw a no hitter last night as we record for the Houston Astros. The nutty thing about him is he is 30 years old. He made his major league debut when he was 28 years old. He was born on August 31st, 1993. But he's originally from, and I'm reading from an article on sportingnews.com, quote, Blanco is originally from Santiago, Dominican Republic. He signed with the Houston Astros as a 22-year-old back on April 27th, 2016, as an international free agent. He spent the 2016 season in the Dominican Summer League and the Gulf Coast League. The Athletic reported Blanco was working at a car wash part-time in Santiago to support himself and his mother, but signed on a $5,000 bonus when the Astros extended him an offer.
Wow.
So the Astros found this dude in Santiago, Dominican Republic, and then, obviously, a couple years later, dude came and threw him a no-hitter. Good for him. You know, if he doesn't have that long a career and this is only his only major career highlight, you know what? Throwing a no-hitter in a Major League Baseball game, that's not a bad career.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's not a bad career highlight.
No, definitely not. So let's talk about hockey is in place. The Rangers officially clinched. That's the only thing everybody needs to know.
Hey, congratulations to Jonathan Quick.
Yes.
The winningest American-born goalie in NHL history.
Yes, so kudos to Jonathan Quick. Yeah. Team is looking very good. I mean, I was completely shocked at just how good they've been since the All-Star break, but they've been on fire. I mean, unfortunately, their 5-game winning streak came to the end due to the Penguins.
Listen, we've always had issues with the Penguins.
Always have. So as long as we clean that up for the playoffs, which we have clinched, that's all that matters. So everybody just needs to stay healthy as we go into the final stretch for that, because you know, if I'm not going to be shaving, there's going to be a reason for it. So just getting the hockey beard going.
I'm looking at the standings for the Eastern Conference and the NHL. The Rangers, Hurricanes, Bruins, and Panthers have all clinched. Only the Columbus Blue Jackets in that conference are eliminated. And then for the Western Conference, it is Dallas, Vancouver, and Colorado have clinched. A few more have eliminated in that division, and that is Arizona, Anaheim, Chicago, and San Jose.
Yeah, so playoff hockey is looming right around the corner, so excited about that.
Yeah.
As for the NBA, the Knicks are still, hanging in there.
They're hanging in there.
Yeah, like I say, Boston's looking really good. I mean, you take a look at everybody going on right now. I know the big story, I guess, if you want to call it a big story, was LeBron was saying he doesn't have much time left.
In other news, water's wet.
Yeah.
Dude's like, what, 40-something now?
Yeah, he's like I say, he's
Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah, we all know he's on the back end. And yeah. Like, there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to stress this.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of weird that people were, like, losing their minds about it. It's like, we've been fortunate enough, we've seen him play for the majority of his life in the NBA.
Yeah.
And love him or hate him, he is a legend. He is an all-star.
Yeah.
But
first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so I think for a lot of the younger generation, it's not sinking in.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, I had this little problem with Michael Jordan retiring.
Sure.
And I was like, wait, what? And then, you know, you come to learn him. You know, like obviously Father Time, like you alluded to, is not undefeated.
Father Time's undefeated.
But since we've seen him play so long and, you know, at such a high level.
And part of that's because he skipped college and went right to the pros.
Yeah.
You know, if he'd have played college and like the rule setup they've got now, he probably would have been retired already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, easily. And he wouldn't have won a championship for Duke. But I digress. That's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah, no, you're right. He probably would have gone to Duke.
Maybe that or Ohio State. But, but we'll have to kind of wait to see how that plays out because obviously there is only a few teams that have clinched for the playoffs in the NBA right now. Boston has punched their ticket in. And then on the Western Conference, Oklahoma City, Denver, and Minnesota.
Here's how absurd, because I'm just looking at the NBA Eastern Conference standings for the first time in a while. Boston's so far and ahead of everybody else in the Eastern Conference. They're the only team that's clinched in the conference, but they've also clinched the conference already.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, they've only lost 16 games.
That like that's absurd. Like I'm looking like Milwaukee, Cleveland, Knicks, Magic, Pacers, Heat, 76ers, Bulls, Atlanta, and Nets are all still like mathematically involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? The Bulls have clinched a playoff play-in berth. You know, so they're going to be in the play-in tournament, but literally outside of that, nobody else has done a damn thing except for Boston. That's absurd.
Yeah. So it is going to be wild to see what happens. The Knicks need some players to come back healthy.
Right.
And if they can do that, they can make a run. I'm not, me being a New York fan, I want to say they're going to clinch and win that chip, but a lot of things could happen because, you know, it just takes one shining moment and then you never know. And as I'm alluding to, because we are going to end this show talking about the Final Four, which has proved many, many highlights.
Holy shit.
I will say this. If anybody wonders about March Madness, this is why you tune into those games. And one team in particular.
Uh-huh.
And that is NC State.
Yeah.
Which, I'll give the Devils their due. They showed up. They have been proving me and a lot of other people wrong.
Yeah.
Concerning the Cinderella story, they have been scrappy, if I can use that word, to such a high degree. And the game that they put on against Duke, and as much as it pains me to say it,
76-64 win with Kyle Rudikoff, a couple of
stats.
Let's see. You had DJ Burns, 29 points. DJ Horn from NC State, 20 points at the DJ show there. Duke, you had Filipowski had 11 points. McCain had 32. Roach had 13, and not too much off the bench. They played, but, you know, only guy off the bench for Duke, Stewart, 2 points. Same for NC State's bench. 10 points between two guys.
No, the biggest story is DJ Burns.
The DJ show. Yeah, that's crazy.
DJ Burns put up 21-29 in that second half.
Jesus Christ.
The game, literally, Duke was leading going into halftime.
Right. 27-21.
Yep. And then Duke went ice cold.
Holy shit. Yeah, I guess so.
In that second half.
30 points to 37 points in the second half in favor of NC State.
And,
fuck.
And Burns just dominated. Let me say, the easiest comparison I could say is when Shaq was playing at LSU.
Oh, okay.
He was just muscling Duke underneath. Like, they had no answer for him. He was getting the easiest buckets known to man.
Right.
Listen, not mad about it. He was just dominating.
Right.
So to see their run that they've done, I have to say I'm very, very impressed with what they did. Because for Houston to get, you know, like I say, knocked out after they had such a crazy game going in there too. And I will say this. I do agree with Calvin Sampson, their head coach. If she did not twist his ankle early or roll his ankle in the beginning of a whole different ballgame.
Probably.
But this is what happens when you get into those brackets. You never know what's going to happen because we did get some upsets, so let's talk about it.
No, I mean, we had a bunch of upsets. Obviously, you had the NC State thing going on, Illinois making it pretty far, although they got the pants whipped off them by UConn.
Yeah.
Holy fucking Christ.
UConn is just playing on a different level right now.
What was it? They went on a 30-0 run that stretched 20 real-time minutes or something absurd like that? God damn.
It was insane.
That was nuts.
Yeah, so like UConn obviously is proving why they're the number one seed overall.
Yeah.
They're looking unstoppable.
Yeah.
One of the very rare times you'll ever hear me say this statement, but Roll Tide. they beat the number one seed North Carolina, and they beat Clemson.
Yeah, they did.
That I was not expecting.
Yeah.
But they have punched their ticket to the Final Four.
Yep.
Listen, I think that Cinderella story is over. I think UConn is going to go completely bananas on them Saturday night.
Yeah, the games for the men's Final Four are both Saturday night, April the 6th. The NC State-Purdue game is first. That is, they're both games, I should note, are on TBS. NC State taking on Purdue, that is at 6:09 p.m. Currently, as we record, the over-under on that game is 145.5, and it is Purdue favored by 8.5. Which, yeah, probably. Then you've got the later game is number one seeded UConn taking on number four seeded Alabama. That is at 8:49 p.m. Eastern, although I would say keep an eye on if you're not watching the first game because at times subject to whenever the first game gets done. But as we currently record, the over-under on Alabama-UConn is 160.5, and I'm going to be honest, I think this line spread is a little low. It's UConn by 11.5. Feels a little low to me.
It's being a little generous. Listen, not going to lie. I mean, to get here, Alabama is the biggest Cinderella of the dance.
Absolutely. Alabama, like we've said for a lot of teams, known for football, not really known for basketball.
No. So UConn, I mean, that point spread is very generous.
Yeah, it is.
I think UConn punches their ticket easy.
Absolutely.
And then for NC State and Purdue, I mean, this is going to be a true test because Burns versus Zach Edey.
Oh, my God. Zeedy's a monster.
Yeah, so that's going to be a very, very big battle in the middle.
Edey's got a wingspan of a football field,
mm-hmm.
allegedly.
Well, that's why I say him and Burns underneath, that's not going to be an easy day.
No, it's not.
So it just depends on how the role players
forget driving to the rim.
No, like I say, I don't think anybody's going to be doing.
No, you're not. You're not getting within a zip code of the ring.
Any crazy thing going on here?
No.
But this is going to be the situation for Purdue if they're, because I think the two big men cancel each other out.
Probably.
Can lightning strike again for NC State? I don't think so. I think it's going to be Purdue.
I think the clock's about to hit midnight.
I do too, and I think you're going to have Purdue versus UConn.
Yep.
And then, boy, I don't like. It's tough to go against UConn right now after seeing what they've done in this tournament.
Yeah.
So I'm hard-pressed to go against them. I mean, even though I'd love to see Purdue do it because Purdue hasn't won it in forever and a day.
Sure.
Same thing with NC State.
But UConn is whipping the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, UConn is
UConn beat Stetson in the first round 91-52. Mm-hmm. Then they went into the second round against the ninth-seeded Northwestern, beat them 75-58. Then they got into the Sweet 16, and they faced number five-seeded San Diego State, and they beat them 82-52.
Yeah.
Then they got against the Illinois game, which we alluded to earlier, where they were number three seed, beat them 77-52, and that included the 30-0 run.
They're going rock Cody Rhodes from this past Monday night. Like that's
they're going stone cold rock and just the trading blows at the start.
Yeah, like I say, it's just insane. Just
that's nuts.
The amount of arse kicking
that
is going on with UConn. So the national championship game should be a fun one, no matter what.
Yeah,
it's hard to go against UConn, but I'm hoping that the team coming out of the other side is the one to pull it off.
UConn's the only thing I got left in my bracket. I need them to win.
Yeah, it definitely could happen. And then on the women's side,
Final Four for this is taking place place on Friday, April 5th. Both of these games are on ESPN. 7 o'clock Eastern, you've got number one seeded North Carolina taking on NC State. So NC State doing a little double dip in this.
Yeah, weekend. A little bit.
And then on the other side, 9 o'clock Eastern, this will be watched by a few people because, listen, I am not the biggest women's college basketball fan. I do acknowledge them. They are phenomenal. But this is the marquee match.
This is box office.
This is a great matchup. 9 o'clock Eastern, you've got the number one seeded Iowa Hawkeyes taking on the number three seeded UConn Huskies. Boy, oh boy.
Box office.
Uh-huh.
Caitlin Clark, listen, I think that she is going to put on a show.
Yes.
To say the least.
Was she tied the NCAA record for threes in a game?
Yeah.
In the game against LSU last night where it was like 9 or something crazy like that?
Yeah, like it's going to be out of control on that, and like I say, you're going to see box office this weekend. Like I say, both tournaments have got great stories going on with this.
I was just on a different level because, listen, LSU are no slouches. They were a great team defensively.
Mm.
But you go back and you watch the highlights of that game and just Caitlin Clark drilling threes from like a foot or two beyond the three-point line.
Yeah.
And running back down the other way, and just the number of LSU players who are just shrugging like, yeah, we got nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
Caitlin Clark is on, she's on.
Yeah, like I say, she's incredible to watch play.
She's insane.
Yeah, so like it said, the game against LSU was a fun one to watch.
Yeah, too. It was.
So this is going to be a real test of attrition, so to speak, as they say. The test of wills.
Yeah.
And so definitely make sure to check it out this weekend or on the highlights too, because like I say, there's a lot of stuff going on, especially with WrestleMania taking place too.
Yeah.
So whatever your sports fandom is, so to speak, gravitate towards it and definitely go celebrate it.
Unless you're the Astros, fuck you.
Exactly. So that being said, for anything and everything that is the ODPH, you can find it at odphpodcast.com. That's it for this week in sports. So for the one and only Padawan J, hit him again one time.
Fuck the Astros.
I'm your host, Ken. Thank you as always for listening to the ODPH podcast. We'll see you next time.
It's such waste of time, swiping left and swiping right on people you could know. 'Cause anyone who's worth a damn be worth way more than a picture could ever show. You could find the right light, find the right angle, and never find your soul. And it can feel like a losing battle, and this plot is full of holes. This modern way of finding love just makes me feel so alone. And I can't be the only one sick of staring at my phone. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up, talk to me. Time fable, everyone has just one true love. All I know is you're across this table, and you're all I'm thinking of. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up, talk to me. Swiping left and swiping right on people you could know.